Hey everyone, welcome to Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort. And without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast hails all the way from Detroit, Michigan. And while she doesn't come from a musical family per se, she started writing songs at just 8 years old, arriving in Seattle circa 2017 after graduating from the University of Michigan. She finally fused her love for music and writing, kickstarting her own blog covering the Seattle music scene. We're only a few years in, but there's already more than 30 contributors. And she just kickstarted their new podcast, Unwritten, and helped launch Work From Home Seattle, created by Robbie Christmas. So please welcome the founder of Dan's Tunes, our favorite American Idol tattoo-touting Michigander, Dan Ray.
Hey. I feel like I got to show you my tattoo now.
Oh, absolutely.
Can I get it? There it is. It's just an oval with the Roman numeral 15 in it.
Nice.
They had 15 seasons before they... Before the reboot, which I actually highly recommend. I still cry every episode.
Oh, yeah?
Great.
Oh, wow. So big American Idol fan then, growing up.
Oh, my gosh. The hugest American Idol fan. At one point, I literally had, like, a whole notebook that I would take notes in of all the episodes of, like, who I thought did well, and, like, my family and I would all talk about it after and, like, write in this notebook. And this was also, I don't know, I guess I'm, like, dating myself as a millennial or whatever, but, like, this was before, like, TiVo or, like, DVR or, like, definitely before streaming. So if anyone, like, talked during any of the episodes, I was, like, I got so pissed. Like, fucking, like, 10-year-old me would just be, like, shut up!
Right. There's something to be said for missing that time of, like, having to wait for a show. Like, obviously, I love, like, just binging something, but there was something special about, like, waiting all week long. That's how I felt about Lost, like, the first two seasons. My dad and I watched that together, and that was huge. Was, like, holy, was it Tuesday? It was, like, Tuesdays or Wednesdays, because I remember I had to come back from baseball, and we would just book it, and I was like, if I'm not ready in time, like, it's gonna be devastating.
Okay. I did not watch Lost when it was on network television. But I have since watched it through like 2.5 times, and it is my absolute favorite relic of network television.
It is so good.
So good and so terrible.
Oh, really?
Like, it's not, it's like my favorite B television show.
Oh, fair. Yeah, I'd be scared to go back, but like when I remember like seasons 1 and 2, I was just like blown away when I thought there was more supernatural stuff going on. Spoiler alert for anyone who's 20 years late.
But. Did you not watch past season 2?
So we stopped watching like mid season 3, and then my brother got into it with like the DVDs, and then I did watch the whole thing all the way.
Okay.
Through.
Season 3 is my favorite, mostly because it's all about John Locke, and he's my favorite character before he becomes like not John Locke.
Right.
And seasons 4 through 6 are just like utter train wrecks.
Yeah, it's like, what hallucinogens did y'all do when trying to write this story?
No, I had like, I think I still have actually like a full list of questions that never get answered.
It was so exciting because of all the questions. And then, yeah, when they wrapped it up, it was like, wait, I'm still confused. And I think the writers were too. They were just like, just leave it. Like,
yep. Thanks, can't. JJ. Yeah. 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 The second time I watched it through, it was with, my now ex, and he spent like the whole night that I started making him watch it like googling about Lost, because he was like, what happens, like just tell me what happens, and I was like, I can't, like I could not even tell you, like I would not be able to tell you. And he literally stayed up until like 2 a.m. like just googling things, and then he comes to bed and he's like, you're right, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I was like, you just gotta watch it.
You're like, there's no amount of research that will tell you what happens.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if their own, like, the writers and producers couldn't give you the same answer.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, JJ's like, I don't know.
He was like, I started getting other gigs and they were great.
He asked me to write Star Wars. I don't know. I got distracted.
It's like,
oh gosh, I know. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Well, other than a potential Lost rewatch, how you been holding up with all the craziness going on right now?
You know, I feel like I'm doing fairly well in the grand scheme of things. I still have a day job, which is very nice. So I'm not like, at least yet, I'm not personally worried about my own financial situation. And it's been really nice to, after that job, to dive into the music community more and, you know, even do things like this. And, like I've met so many people who I, you know, like knew who they were, briefly interacted with, but we've developed like, you know, actual friendships now through this whole thing in the music community. So that's been really nice. And awesome. It's been really fulfilling to, you know, have even more time to like dive into that than I normally do.
For sure. And so I guess it is an interesting situation, right? Of there's like now this opportunity to create a little bit more.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for you, especially because the music landscape, as someone who covers music, it has just been like flipped on its head.
Yeah.
So what has been kind of your experience watching folks navigate that and then kind of still covering the scene as it morphs?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. That's a big question. So let me do my best. I mean, the biggest change for us just on a purely logistical level has been there's no shows. Mm-hmm. And most of what we cover usually is shows, because, you know, like that's what people are excited about. They want to go to the show. They want to write about it. They want to take photos of it. And that's like all what we post on our Instagram too. So like our Instagram's been fairly dead, which, you know, is fine, whatever. But so we've been focusing more on like album reviews and, you know, music reviews coming out. But even that has been like kind of a strange back and forth, because a lot of people are pushing their albums because either they, you know, want to release when they can actually have a release show, or they were in the middle of, you know, mixing and mastering and now they don't have money to finish that process.
Yeah.
So like a lot of things are getting pushed. I can't say for sure. I do have a theory that I think there's going to be like this month or May, I guess, I think is going to be fairly light on releases because I think people are like pushing out. But I think like July, August is going to have a lot of stuff coming out because all people are doing is sitting in their rooms writing music.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm almost hoping to just like sneak in and while people are waiting for new content, I was talking to some friends. I was like, I might just start dropping solo stuff now because this is when nobody's going to be dropping stuff and I'm just sitting on a bunch of material.
Yeah, exactly. It's weirdly a ripe opportunity. That's kind of how it's been for me for Dance Tunes as well. Like there's just new opportunities to capitalize on things that you haven't done before. The other big thing that we've been doing is just really trying to get the word out there. Like I just published on Saturday, I published an article about the venues and how they're faring. And I'm really proud of that article.
it's really incredible. And we should post links to that. I did.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy.
One thing that's really interesting is there's a lot of great dialogue going on, I think, between artists and venues right now. And all sides are very valid, but I think especially because folks turn to you for like reviews, you get a lot of the artists following what you're doing. And I think a lot of us weren't aware of kind of the situations or weren't looking at the small business perspective just because,
Well, thank you so much. And that's why I wrote it, because I just had this realization that everyone was talking about the artists and like, obviously the artists are important. Like clearly the artists are important, but no one was talking about the venues and how if the venues go under and there's nowhere for these artists to perform when this is all over, we're still in the exact same situation where the artists still can't make money because there's nowhere to perform.
Yep. 100%.
And no one was talking about it.
Yeah. And it's been great. Again, I love that you brought that up. And also just that you linked to the fundraisers too, I think is huge, because so many people will be like, great. And then, or I'm seeing a lot of people post things here and there of we need to be supporting small business, but then not providing the means. And granted, it's a beautiful thing. People are just saying stuff and speaking up. But I just really appreciated that detail where you were like in right here, like hyperlinked to the venue. It's fundraiser. Here you go. So,
well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm really trying to do our best, but I mean, like, through dance tunes.
Right. I got you.
Like, actually bringing that support there, mm-hmm. making it easy for people to find what they need, doing our best to promote, I hadn't interviewed Tim's Tavern for the article, and they saw the article and they like reached out and they were like, oh my gosh, would you mind adding us in? And I was like, 100%, you guys, like, if you have a fundraiser, like, yes, I want to add it in. Like, yeah. I want to practice what I preach, right?
Totally. And they're the best too. I love the folks at Tim's.
I don't get there that often just cause I live in Columbia City.
And oh, so it's like all the way, opposite.
All the way up. Yeah. But I've been there a couple of times and yeah, I definitely like getting in there.
Yeah. That's where, if I go do my solo stuff, because it's like more singer songwritery, I mm-hmm. always go there. And then when we tried getting our band back on this, they were just beyond kind. And just, yeah, great to, artists.
I mean, all the venues here. And that's like even, a lot of people said this to me, but the one in the article that I wrote when I interviewed Adam Prairie, who books at the Sunset, like he was saying, his big thing was that he's not worried about the Sunset specifically. Like, they're kind of a smaller venue and like a less like expensive neighborhood. But he was like, if any of the venues die, like that's bad for the whole ecosystem. Like, before it was kind of this, I don't want to say cutthroat, but like more of a competitive environment where they're all competing mm-hmm. for the same artists. And now it seems like they've kind of come together and been like, oh, like, okay, because this artist played, you know, the first 2 years of their career at Skylark, and that's a small venue, and they got better, now they can go play at the Sunset. Yeah. And like, you know, and then once they get out of the Sunset, they can go play at the Showbox or like Numos mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And it really all like works together, which I thought was a really interesting point. And just very apt right now. Like, I feel like the music community really is coming together, and it's definitely like, if I didn't have this community, I would not be doing this while in quarantine.
Yeah. So I guess as far as how have you found your relationship with the venues has changed since like being able to do more of this outreach and cover some of the stuff that's going on?
Oh, you know what? That's a good question. Honestly, I really did not do very much with the venues beforehand. Like mm-hmm. to get into shows, we would just talk to the bands themselves and they would put us on guest lists. Now they know what Dance Tunes is. Mm-hmm. I think now we're like on their radar more and they recognize that, we're really here to like support the community. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about that with Robbie too, from work, Robbie Christmas, from work from home. Cause he actually weirdly had the same idea that I had about like, no one's talking about the venues. So last week we talked to, Ed Brooks and Rachel Field from uh-huh. Resonant Mastering about producers and engineers. And then this week we have an interview coming up with, Jeff, Rogness, who books for the Tractor. And Robbie and I were just talking about basically like, we want to help these venues, and but like one of the greatest things that's come out of it is just that, yeah, like they know we want to help. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that people know you want to help just like forms such tight-knit bonds.
Yeah.
You know, especially in times of crisis, right? Like, you know, Robbie was talking about like, oh, we're not just like promoting our own music. We're legitimately like, we're like, please, like, help us save the Tractor. Help us right. give money to these other musicians who don't have any income right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just not about us at all, you know?
Right.
Dance Tunes really didn't do very much with the venues beforehand, but I would say that's probably the best thing that's come out with it. Just like more awareness, more communication within the community itself.
And for those that aren't familiar, do you mind walking us through what Work From Home Seattle is?
Yeah. So Work From Home is a live streaming platform that Robbie Christmas, who's a local singer-songwriter, started with Ben Butler, who is his co-host, and he is a comedian.
Oh, perfect.
He's really funny. Actually, like our last, our show on Friday, he Googled one of the artist names, and her name is Lindsay Collins. And he was like, he Googled it, and apparently that was a Green Bay Packer in like 1991, Lindsay Collins. So he like introduced her by being like, and this singer-songwriter like is actually a football player from 1991. And she's like a third year at Cornish. Like she wasn't even born in 1991. Like it was
That's so amazing.
So I think it was both of their ideas individually. And then I saw Robbie post on it, or post about it on Facebook, and I just reached out and I was like, hey, like I would love to help with this. This is a great idea. And Robbie himself, like I have so much respect for Robbie. Like Robbie himself is an out of work musician. He's not making money right now either. And he's, I mean, he did perform on the live stream. But really, honestly, I think it was just because like someone else was like, you know, you should probably perform on this. And he was right. Like, oh yeah, like you're probably right. So just like totally selfless act. So every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m., you're paused. I don't know if you can hear me. You have a smile on your face though in the pause.
Yeah, I'm digging
the
it.
Frozen thing, so that's nice. Okay. So then, yeah, every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m., we host a live stream featuring different artists, and we're really trying to prioritize artists that are completely out of work due to the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then like we have an artist form submission. So maybe we can throw that in like the podcast description.
Absolutely.
If people want to apply. I believe we're booked all the way through May right now.
That's awesome.
But so that's been fun. I've been helping with it every week. I've been like zooming in and interviewing artists, and that's been really cool. I've gotten to meet a lot of artists that I wouldn't have otherwise. We basically just ask for donations throughout the whole set. The donations go directly to the artists, or we have had a couple artists there that have given their donations to the other artists because they do have day jobs or whatever it may be.
Nice.
Or if you donate directly to the work from home team, we give that money to an artist or a charity that we feel needs it. So last week, because we interviewed Rachel and Ed from Resonant Mastering, we gave the money to the Seattle Production or Producers and Engineers Fund. I think this week we're going to give it to, don't quote me on this, but I think this week we're going to give it to WANMA or something surrounding like the venues.
Nice.
It's a really, really fun platform. And Gabby Despain who's also a local musician. She does like all the social media for it. Our producer is Patrick Leonard. Want to make sure I give them shout outs because they're doing great work as well. It's the five of us are chugging on.
That's awesome. And it's really cool to see how rapidly folks are like innovating during this time. Obviously it's a terrible time, but it's really cool to your point. I mean, there's all this networking that's happening, people that wouldn't have otherwise interacted coming together and just like creating stuff, which is really, really cool. So obviously a horrible time, but it's always neat to see how creatives come together in times of chaos and really make some beautiful things out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we're all hurting, and there's kind of a beauty in that, you know, we can all kind of come together and hurt together and try to do the best that we can.
100%. And then how has that played into the podcast? Because obviously you kicked it off and then all of this hit. So
we started doing the podcast last year I don't even know. It was like late last year, and we do it monthly. And for people who don't know, the podcast is called Unwritten. And we feature, monthly, and we feature a musician who has put out a release, like a music release that month, whether it be like a single, an EP, an album, whatever. We just pick from our submissions. So if you want to be considered, all you gotta do is submit to us, Dan Ray at danstuneseattle.com. You just email me with information.
No, just subject line and that's it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's totally like a process. Like I get that. So, and I mean, we're like, we follow indie bands, right? Like we cover indie bands. So I totally get that a lot of people just like have never submitted to press before and like don't understand how to do it. But I mean like Deify, like you guys, when you submitted, you're like I know you, and you were still like, hey, like here's our full bio. Here's like the inspiration behind this track. Like that stuff is so, so helpful for us in writing. And it honestly, like it makes me want to write about it more. One, because like we have more information, so it's, you know, easier to write like a comprehensive piece about it. And two, because like I want to help the people who are really grinding, And if you're just like sending like mass emails to a bunch of people that are like one or two sentences, like, you know, I'm not going to say no.
Right.
But if I get that email and then I get an email that's like, hey, here's my full bio. Here's a bunch of information. You might not even need it, but like, I wanted to make sure you had it just in case. I'm going to be like, heck yeah. Cause I mean, just like we were saying with the venues earlier, right? Like you want to help people who help you.
Totally. And that's actually probably something great for us to dive into for folks that are listening that maybe haven't gone for press. You touched on a little bit, but what does that ideal intake email look like for you to A, like provide the best support for you if you're going to be the folks writing it, and then just B, also just like etiquette?
That's a good question. So a bio is always helpful, first and foremost. Because if I don't know who you are, how am I supposed to write about you? And like, we can do research for sure. And I get that a lot of these bands are like very new and don't really have much, but even if you're like, hey, this is my first release and you know, I've never put out anything before, I've played like one show, that's still helpful information for us because we can say like, this is a new artist on the scene. Like that still gives us context. So basically giving context to who you are and what you're doing. And I mean, even in, I've been doing this for 3 years and I feel like I have a pretty good handle on the scene at this point, but still I will talk to people and be like, have you heard of this local band? I'll be like, no. They'll be like, what about this one? I'll be like, no.
Yeah, totally.
No. Like there's just so many, there's new ones springing up all the time. There's people, you know, from different bands coming together to form new bands all the time. Like it's just impossible to fully keep up with. So a little bit of context, like a little bit of a bio or a lot of it, if you have a lot of it, is great. Inspiration behind what you're doing is really helpful for us too. Like, or even we can talk about your track. So like you have a track coming out and it's just kind of like a fun song.
Yeah.
And if we wrote about that, like, oh my gosh, like this, you know, if we were like, this doesn't rank up to like classical music standards and there's like not a super deep message here, like that doesn't serve the purpose of the track, right? Mm-hmm. Like you were like, we want to write like a fun track that just like gets people's minds off of it. So we, when we write a review, we have to look at it in that context. Like, okay, right. This is what they wanted to do. Did they accomplish that or did they not? We can't compare you to the whole like musical gamut, right?
Right.
So any like biographical or any, yes, biographical information, but like context for the actual music is super helpful. And yeah, even like past stuff, like if you're just like, hey, this is my previous work, like this is where we came from, this is where we're going. But yeah, and like, you know, this is my community. Like I like to get to know people. So I like when people send me emails that are like, hey, Dan, like, I know who you are. And I'm like, hey, human, I know who you are too. Like, nice to meet you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it is so funny how small it becomes. Because to your point, there's always new acts popping up. But then you start, like, I feel like once I get to know somebody or meet someone, all of a sudden they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, we've really been in probably all the same spots. Like, or we were standing next to each other at a show and just never knew for whatever reason. Like,
I am so bad at faces too. Like I'm really good at names, but I'm bad at faces, which I know is a very strange thing. Like that's not something that most people experience, but people will come up to me and they'll be like, oh my God, like we've met 3 times. And I'll be like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Like your hair is different today. Like, yeah. I don't know. So yeah, like I've had people come up to me and be like, I've seen you at shows. And I'll be like, oh my God, like I believe you.
Yeah.
Like I'll get it next time. I promise. Like,
right.
But yes, if you see me at a show, definitely come up and say hi. Like, I want to meet you.
Yeah, so that's another interesting thing is you're from Detroit. So how was that experience coming to Seattle? There's, of course, the Seattle Freeze that everyone talks about. But how was that process for you? And then trying to kickstart, like, a venture focused on the local scene. So what did that look like?
I came here, like, directly out of college. And the reason I came here was not related to the music industry at all. Like, I grew up in Michigan my whole life, like lived there my whole life. But I always knew I wanted to live in a major city. And I really always wanted to live in New York, which is ironic. Because Seattle is literally the opposite of New York, both in location and like humans that live here.
Right.
Yeah. Like in every way. But after college, I just started applying to like every major or any job in like any major city that I thought would be like remotely okay, because I was just like, get me out of this state. And don't get me wrong, I love, love, love Michigan. So I ended up here for a job in Kent, which I did not realize was very different from Seattle because I hadn't been there before.
A little bit.
And I worked there for 2 months before I quit because I was like, my boss literally yelled at me for saying poop in the office. And I was like, if I can't say poop in the office, like, I do not belong here.
Like, what?
I know. And it was literally like, it was so innocuous. Like, I was like, I had like coffee creamer. And I was like talking to one of my coworkers and I was like, hey, like, does this smell weird to you? Like, I can't really tell. And she was kind of like, oh, like, I don't know either. And I was like, all right, like, I guess I'll just go with it. Cause like worst case, I just have a weird poop. Right. And my boss heard me and she was like, you can't say that in the office. And I was like, what are you talking about? I know. This is why I'm in the music community. Because like some of the professional, like, corporate community is just like, I'm like, I can't say poop. Like, no, we can't be friends.
Right. I was in
but
like
that really mode. Was what like propelled me into the music community, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I was just working this like corporate job, this temp job, and it was just like, it was so incredibly soul sucking. Like, yeah. I needed a creative outlet. I needed somewhere to be myself. So for I actually started Dance Tunes originally as just kind of like my own personal blog. And then slowly it just kind of turned into this thing where I was like, you know what? There's a whole scene here. And like, it just kind of evolved. Like, I started covering some local bands and it just slowly evolved into this thing where I was like, this is a really important community. And mm-hmm. I started talking to artists at shows and like 100% of them without me even asking. Like, at this point, I wasn't even like doing this journalistically. I was just like having conversations with these people. And 100% of them were like, the community is so fragmented. And I started thinking like, okay, why is it? Why is that fragmented? And it was actually the like light bulb moment for me was at Mopop. They have, I used to volunteer there. I haven't done it in a really long time. Well, also because of quarantine, but but great museum. I love them. And they had a plaque in their Nirvana exhibit that was like the 5 reasons that made like the landscape ripe for Nirvana to like become Nirvana, basically. Mm-hmm. And the first one was just like disgruntled youth, which like makes a lot of sense. And there were a couple other ones. I don't remember what exactly the other ones were, but the last one was press. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, like that's what it is. Like, there's nowhere for this community to gather around. And like, that's been my whole goal with Dance Tunes. Like, we cover everything. Like, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, indie rock, hip hop, dream pop, funk, like, even, I mean, we don't do that much experimental stuff, but like, I never want to say like straight up no. The genres that, like, you know, because who am I to be like, your genre's not mainstream enough? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, no. Like,
right.
No, fuck that. So, you know, when people send us like avant-garde stuff or whatever, I'm like, hey, this is a little different than we normally cover, but like, I'm happy to put it on our list and like see if any of my writers are interested because you're still a musician, you're still doing cool things. Like, we want to help you. But yeah, I guess that was the inspiration behind Dance Tunes. And it was like, speaking to your question about the Seattle freeze, it definitely took a while to, how do I phrase this? Like, I guess it just took a while to build the brand. Like, mm-hmm. when I first started interviewing people and going to shows and stuff, everyone was, like, people were open to it, but I wouldn't say they were, like, excited about it, you know? They were kind of right. Like, oh, sure, like, yeah, you can come cover our show.
Right.
And now it's, like, people, like, know who we are, and it's exciting, and that's, like, really gratifying. Cause yeah, my whole thing this whole time has just been that I want to help. And it's like really, like, I'm honored that people mm-hmm. recognize that and that I've been able to like build up this name.
Totally.
What has it taught you just about like business, I guess? It really, a lot of that is like branding, right? And networking. And you really started a new business, even though it like was a, you know, personal venture to begin. But, how has your approach changed over the years to kind of adjust to that?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, honestly, what's made a really big difference is me, myself, going out into the community. Mm-hmm. And I think for a while, like, if I'm going to be 100% honest about that, I think I was really scared. Like, I was really scared of being rejected by this community because I, like, care about it so much. And I, you know, wanted to, like, be in it so badly that for a while I was like, oh no, like, I can't, like, I don't fit in. Or, like, people would, as you said in your intro, I've been writing songs since I was like 8, but after college, I took a break from music because I just, like, I don't know, I had like a quarter life crisis and I was just like listening to my like baby boomer parents. And I was like, oh my God, like I have to get a job and I have to have like insurance benefits, and, like all of these things. Right. And I was like, okay, like I can't do that with music, or like, and like my whole life, I was really just, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I was always just a little bit afraid of being rejected. So I wasn't great at like taking feedback, or, you know, people were like, oh, like, why don't you sing it like this or whatever? I would just like, I would get really down on myself and be like, fuck, like I'm just really bad or whatever. And just like this past year or so, through like Dance Tunes and all of that stuff, I feel like I've gained a lot of confidence, and like, I'm doing more of my own music now. And, going out into the community more, like interacting with people more. And I think that's really helped because it helps people put a face to the brand, put a face to the name, be like, oh, like this is Dan of Dance Tunes. And like, you know, I mean, that's why like fucking like Tesla is successful, because people are like, oh, that's Elon Musk. Right. You know, or like, I don't know, whatever it is, like, you know, Apple with Steve Jobs, like people like putting a face to the name and knowing that someone is behind it who actually cares about it.
How has that, I guess, being that now you have people that are reaching out to you for coverage and whatnot, how has that changed how you consume music?
Ooh, that's a good question too. What I tell people a lot of the time is like, people will be like, what are you listening to? And I'll be like, I don't know, what did people submit to me this week? Like, that's that's what I've been listening to.
Yeah.
So, like, I know now when people are like, yeah, like, what are you listening to? Or, like, what's your favorite band? I'm like, do you mean in Seattle? Do you mean nationally? Right. Like, what do you even mean? So I think it is different in a sense that now, because we get submissions, like, early, I will listen to music before it's released. And it's more almost... It's interesting because I feel almost more in line with the artists. Like, I've heard artists a lot of the time talk about how, you know, once a track actually gets released, like it takes so long from the writing process to like mastering to actually like, you know, promoting and actually releasing it. That a lot of the time, by the time you release a track, it's like a year or two after you wrote it, and it's not even like who you are anymore necessarily, which is like fine. Like, that's great. Like, music is supposed to be like a moment in time. But in a way, I feel like aligned with the artist in that way, because I'm like, oh yeah, like I've been listening to this for, you know, a month, 6 weeks or whatever it may be when you submitted it. And like, now it comes out and I'm like, oh yeah, like I already know that one. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's cool though. We get a lot of really, really cool music, submissions, and it's very rewarding to that people, want to submit and like trust us with that.
Totally. And I just got to say too, that y'all are, or I should say you, Dan's Tunes in general, but you specifically are always the first person that comes to mind every time we're like, okay, we want to do this. Yeah. And it's just because of, I think, of that support, and the irony being this the first time that we're like talking essentially face to face, but it was just that like rapport built up of seeing like how you approach like the journalistic aspect of like talking to artists and just communications that we've had and whatnot. So I know every time that we go to do something, the whole band's just like, we're hitting up Dan, you know, like,
yeah,
for sure.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much.
Yeah, of course. No, thank you.
I was talking to someone about that the other day, actually. Like, it's weird now, because when I first started, I would have to be like, hey, like, I'm Dan from Dance Tunes. Like, we're this music journalism website that covers the underground local scene. Yeah. And like, now it's almost weird. Like, I'll come up and I'll be like, oh, like, I'm Dan of Dance Tunes. And if someone's like, what's that? I'll be like, oh,
like,
you're right. Okay. I should like
time
properly introduce myself.
Right.
But it's, yeah, in a way, it's like weird when people don't know now, which is like a thing that I never thought would happen to me, you know, like, oh, like people know who I am. Like, what a weird thing.
Yeah. And it's all positive too, which I think is even better. It's not like a notoriety thing, which is awesome. When your name spreads, it's for a good reason. So,
well, thank you, that's very nice.
Yeah, of course.
I'm doing my best.
Also, just the fact that you've got like, you know, a listserv of other people who want to be involved is a testament to that too, right? It's not, it's that you're having people reach out to you. I froze, huh?
Red light. okay, back.
I'm back. So it's just, it's really cool what you're doing. And I'm excited that we finally got the chance to sit down and chat about all this. But before I let you go, I do have some fun questions to throw at you. I guess the bigger one to start before I just go rapid fire is, why do you work in music?
This might be a little bit of a longer answer.
This is like, this is open season
okay.
for you.
Okay. Wow. What a great children's movie. That's not actually a good children's movie. But children's movies are my favorite genre. Finding Nemo is a great children's movie. Finding Dory is my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, hot take. So you like Finding Dory better than Finding Nemo?
Do, but I think it's just because of my own personal, like, life experiences. Like, right. She's just, like, I grew up with a single mom, and, like, she, like, when, have you seen it?
Yes, I love it.
You froze, so whatever, I'm gonna tell you about it anyway. So, like, there's the part at the end where she's, like, looking for her parents the whole time. This is a spoiler, but whatever, you guys should have all seen it anyway, because it's an amazing movie. At the end, she, like, comes up, and she, like, is having these flashbacks the whole time about her parents like making like trails of shells for her to like find her way back home. And then she like comes out and there's like these massive lines of shells. Oh my God, I'm gonna like cry talking about it. I cry every time I see it. I've seen the movie like 20-25 times and I still cry every time because I'm just like, they love her so much. Like she's been gone for years and they're just like making these trails of shells like into the motherfucking ocean so she can find her way home and it's so beautiful. Oh, and I'm like, oh my God, they just love her so much and it makes me cry. But that's my digression about Finding Dory. Everyone should watch it. I really want a Dory tattoo. I love Dory so much.
That should be another podcast. It's just podcast episode is like, all right, let's table all the music stuff. Let's talk about Finding Dory and just break it down.
Please. I'm first guest.
Yeah, right on.
I work in music. So this is the tangent. My day job is as a copywriter at an ad agency, and I do really like it, but some of the clients, you know, you don't necessarily get a choice in like what clients come to you, and they're all like interesting, but they're just not, most of them aren't what I'm like passionate about, right? Like I'm passionate about music. So I was talking to like, you know, my dad about it the other day, and he's like, you know, but don't you think this client's important? And I'm like, yes, I think like, of course, I think they're incredibly important. Like, I think they're a very important part of society and I totally respect what they do. I don't know. I just, yeah, I've been writing songs since I was like 8 and I did have just a very, like, I don't know. I grew up with a single mom and like, I haven't talked to my biological father since I was like 15 because he was like really emotionally abusive. So I have like a little bit of a strange, I mean, we all have fucked up childhoods. Honestly, everyone has a fucked up childhood, but like music was always like what I did to express myself. Like, and I remember I found music when I was like, I must've been like 7 or 8. Yeah. And my mom every summer, like put me in camps and like, 1 year she put me in like a sports camp and like I was like, no. No, this is not for me. And she just kept putting me in camps, and then 1 year she put me in a theater camp. I think I was 7, yeah. And she was like, or you know, she put me in theater camp and I was like, I fucking love this. Yeah. Like, this is my thing. And I did theater in high school too. Theater is not really my thing anymore, but that was really what introduced me to music. Like the camp that I went to, it was super fun in Birmingham, Michigan. What was it called? Like Bates Street Performing Arts Camp, I think. And the counselor, shout out to Debbie Tedrick, Miss Debbie. She would write every session, and there were 2 sessions per summer. And I went literally for like 7 or 8 years, like both sessions of every summer. Like that's how much I loved it. And every summer they would write a play using like popular music songs. So it wasn't like, it was kind of like a Mamma Mia or something like that, but not all one artist. So like we did like I remember I learned Route 66 and like Seasons of Love from Rent and Downtown, but like not the Macklemore version, like the older one. And like The Age of Aquarius and Change the World by Elton John. So it was like all these like kind of, you know, like random pulled together pop songs, and they would write a play around it. So it was like theater, but it also really exposed me to, albeit kind of like older popular music, but like pop music. And that was where I was like, this, I love expressing myself this way. And that, yeah, that's like where I found it. So I started writing songs, and that really helped me express myself. And I took voice lessons all throughout high school, and really until I graduated college, I was like, I want to be Katy Perry. And then there were people that were like, no, be yourself. And I was like, mm-hmm. You guys, it's not what I meant.
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> But, you know, kind of like we were talking, like I mentioned earlier, like I also was just a little bit afraid always of like taking feedback and really putting myself out there. So I never quite like hit it. Hit it. It's always been a really important part of my life, and I've always liked analyzing it. And like, I was an English major in high school. Like I'm a writer, like I'm a journalist. Like I love writing about things, analyzing things. And even when I couldn't produce music on my own, or I was producing songs that like I didn't think were, you know, good or whatever it may be, I was always like, oh my God, like I can listen to Katy Perry and she can know exactly how I'm feeling, or right, whatever it may be. Like, let me break down this song. Let me see like why she made these choices. It was just always like a form of like, you know, therapy, like it is for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. I guess I took a break from, you know, my own singing and like my own music. So like now I'm singing again, and I'm learning guitar and a little bit of bass too. So we're like creeping up towards my own actual performance. We're not there yet. But maybe by the end of quarantine, we'll see. I just like, even when I wasn't necessarily like singing a bunch or performing a bunch myself, it was still wanted to recognize what other artists were doing. And I just get it. Like I've had realizations some days where I'm like, fuck, like I feel goddamn terrible. Like, what's going on? And then I'll be like, oh, I haven't sang it all today. Mm. Like, that's why I feel terrible. Mm-hmm. And if you're already feeling not great, but you know, you go put on like the Jonas Brothers and you just have a good time.
Yeah.
I love pop music. That was like a weird thing for me too, because I especially like moving here and like the sad core scene. Like I love the scene here, but it is very sad core a lot of the time.
Yeah, 100%.
And I was like, oh my God, but I just really like pop music. Like, is that okay? Like, I love other music too, but like sometimes you just want to fucking put on the Jonas Brothers or Taylor Swift or whatever it is and just like dance, because it's easy and fun and it still has a message and it still speaks to you, but you don't have to go like parse out the rhythm for 15 minutes.
Right. Have you been listening to the new Dua Lipa album?
The new Dua Lipa record? No. Did she come out with a full record? I actually didn't know she came out with a full record.
Full album. It's so good.
Okay. I need to listen to that then. I listened to the Fiona Apple record, which is not pop music at all.
I heard it's like super trippy.
It's really good. And it's weirdly like fucking everything that's come out has been so weirdly relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's called Fetch the Bolt Cutters.
Yeah. Oh my
God. And I'm like, you didn't write this in quarantine? Like, are you sure?
Right. That's how I felt. What I love about the Dua Lipa record is that all the hooks are infectious. One of them, my favorite one's like Break My Heart, is that it's super infectious. And the hook is about like staying at home, which is, I think, hilarious.
Okay, wait. I can hear you, but you're frozen.
Oh, yeah?
I can hear you, but your face isn't moving. But that's fine.
Okay. I guess we could go to the rapid fire round and see how this works out.
Sure, let's do it.
As of right now, what are you having more fun with, podcasting or writing reviews?
Ooh, oh my gosh, that's such a hard question, because like podcasting has been really nice in quarantine to be like actually talking to someone.
Right.
But if I do, like, writing is just such like a thing for me. Like there's something about talking, like that's why I like journalism, because there's something about talking to someone and then telling their story. And like kind of like piecing it together in a form that like other people will understand.
Would you prefer listening to a curated Spotify playlist or an album that someone sends you?
An album. I like albums, and I'm like a little bit mad at the digital era that they're going away.
Yeah.
Because I like the full story of telling an album. Can I go on a tangent about my favorite album?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. My favorite album is Waking Up by OneRepublic. It's their
great pop record.
Second album. Yeah, it's a fucking great pop record. I love Ryan Tedder. He's all over the goddamn music industry.
He's a genius.
He is a literal genius. Yes. For those of you who don't know, he's written for like Beyonce, Kelly Clarkson, Adele. He's the lead singer of OneRepublic. Like, he is a genius.
He wrote Sucker by the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, did he write that one? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. He's like my idol. But that record is like, I think the biggest song from it is Good Life. And if you listen to it out of context and the way that they marketed it too, it's like, oh, like, yeah, this is going to be a good life. Like, ha ha ha, we're all having fun, like taking selfies and shooting the shit, right? But if you listen to it in the context of the album is about becoming famous and realizing that it fucking sucks.
Yeah. So
in the context of the album, like, that song is really like, oh shit, I thought this was going to be the good life and it actually sucks. Like, I haven't seen my family in months. Like, I'm going from city to city to city. And it's just like, I feel like I'm in a secret club when I listen to that album, because I'm like, oh, like, I get it. Like, totally. I get it, Ryan.
Yeah.
That would be, if I could only take one album to a desert island, it would be that one.
Oh, wow. Last rapid fire one for you. For your first show out post quarantine, what do you choose? There's a rock show or a hip hop show?
Oh, that's so hard. If you're like something or like folk, I would be like the other thing. Not because I don't like folk, but just because I want a rager. Like, I want to go out and party. Oh my God. I would probably have to choose rock, just because I am like a, I don't know. I just love rock.
Yeah. Funny enough, I actually had that question as folk or hip hop initially, but then at the beginning when you were like, I need energy, I was like, okay, I have to find the two most energetic things that I can.
Yes. Oh my God. I love hip hop though too. Like, it's actually like, this is not super rapid fire, but Dance Tunes has really helped me get into the hip hop scene.
Seattle hip hop's really good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Like, shout out to Town Entertainment, because they are they're fucking awesome. Like, they produce so many videos that are all amazing.
Yeah.
And also shout out to Fashay Locke, who is our main hip hop writer at Dance Tunes, because she has taught me so much. When I first started, I was like, I want to write about this hip hop, but I don't totally know like the lingo. Like, I grew up in like a middle class Detroit suburb, like, I'm not like qualified for this.
Right.
I wanted to make sure that I was like doing it correctly. Like, obviously there's a lot of other, like, hip hop is a genre that's very like surrounded by like the African American culture, and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't like just being some fucking like stupid white person going into that. Mm-hmm. And she has taught me a lot, and just like going to more hip hop shows has taught me a lot. And like, yeah, the hip-hop community is awesome, and it's at Dance Tunes. Like, I would love to give it even more attention, because they're doing really good stuff.
Absolutely. It's one of the most innovative pieces of the scene.
Yes.
Like, I'm like a rock guy, just because that's really what I was raised on. but I mean, I listen to, like, everything. Like, what surprised a lot of people is I love pop music, too.
Yeah.
And I just think it makes everybody a better writer. But locally, I mean, everyone's doing great stuff, but the hip hop scene in particular, I've always been like, they're always innovating and pushing, I guess, a lot harder to just explore new territory, which is really
they're
cool.
Like, unafraid.
100%. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this and braving whatever internet troubles I've been plagued with.
Yes.
It was so awesome to get to chat with you. I will keep you posted. I really, truly hope this all went through, because this is honestly one of my favorite conversations that I've had.
Oh my gosh,
on here.
Honestly, and if it doesn't go through, like, I'm happy to do it again.
Me too. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you, and I will be sure to get all the links up everywhere when this thing goes live, to all the amazing stuff you're doing. And stay healthy out there. Thanks so much.
You froze again, but I'm sure you're saying like, so nice to talk to you. And I'll get the links up, and I'll let you know when it's up. I'm gonna wait for you to unfreeze so I can like actually say bye.
Okay, that's totally fair.
The internet sucks. I know you're upset about it.
Yeah, what is going on? Oh, am I back?
Oh, you're back. Yes.
You totally nailed it. I was like, I can't tell if she's pranking me, like, that I've froze, or if she's just that good at and knows exactly how this should go down. But
you know.
But seriously, thank you so much for all you do for the scene, for speaking up on the behalf of artists, venues alike, and then just taking time out of your evening to do this. It was a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you. And stay tuned for Deify's new track premiered on on Thursday. Or, like, can't I don't wait. Know when this is coming out. It might be after it premieres. But either way, check it out.
But regardless, thank you so much for that as well. I mean, it really means a lot. So.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a super fun track. And I think you're right. Like, people just need something to lift themselves up right now.
Totally. And we appreciate you lending us the platform to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right on. Have a good one.
Cool. Thanks, Duncan. Bye. Yep.
Bye. That was Feel My Love by yours truly and my band Deify, featuring three former podcast guests throughout the process, actually. My brother, of course, Jared on drums. Tyler Mays from Iron Grove Studios engineered those drums. And Cross Stitch, formerly in Paradol, Aaron Karstensen, produced the whole record. So it was an absolute blast to make. It premiered on Dan's Tunes last Thursday. So thank you so much to Dan for giving us that opportunity and Natalie Vinn for the amazing write-up. Be sure to go follow Dan's Tunes on all socials and Work From Home Seattle live streaming every Friday at 8 p.m. featuring a bunch of great artists. They're doing some amazing work, and really it's been a great opportunity for us all to come together virtually. As always, if you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made For Music on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort, and I will see you next time.